Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Recording this session of Radio Curious in our studios in Ukiah, California, with our old friend and biennial guest, Ed Reinhardt, a.k.a. Ed Dixon, who's here in the studios of Radio Curious. Ed, welcome.
Thank you, Barry. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'll keep playing.
Talk at the same time?
I remember finishing the Russian River Run probably some 20 years ago.
Holy moly.
You were sitting there playing, and we had this long conversation, and I was amazed that you could beat out Gerald Ford, who I was told couldn't chew gum and walk at the same time, but you can talk and play the piano at the same time.
Yeah, but I didn't say I could do it well.
Maybe you're over 35, right?
I think so, yeah. I'm beginning to feel like I might be.
I think now we're doing okay on the presidential level, but then it probably would have been a good opportunity had you been able to run.
Yeah, well, you know, we do what we can. I can't believe that you can remember me doing those Redwood Valley runs. Those things, I had to be there at something like 5:30 in the morning.
And you weren't even running.
And I wasn't even running, but I had to be there at 5:30. They wanted me to play cheerful music as people came, you know, or something stimulating as people came across the finish line, you know. Anyhow, those were good times, though. I remember the morning the guy showed up, and he had on this T-shirt that said, "Beer, it's not just for breakfast anymore." And he was clearly a strong aficionado of beer. And, you know, he's kind of red-faced, and I think he'd been drinking all night in preparation for the run, which is, to say the least, an unusual preparation technique. And because, of course, they had to send the wagon out for him after about 10 minutes. He just collapsed on the track, and they had to take the poor fellow away.
So Ed, you've been spending the past several years part-time in Italy and part-time in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yes.
Why?
Well, the Italy thing sort of came about through some friends. I went over to Europe, and I was sort of touring around, and I went to visit some friends of friends, and they have a what's known as an agriturismo, where tourists come and stay. And they took a liking to me, and I took a liking to them. And so I've been going in the summers where basically they just sort of like having me there. And
I can understand that. I like having you here.
Well, it's a mystery to me, but at any rate, so they've had me there. The Virginia side of the equation is a little more prosaic. I'm an only child. My mother is getting on in years. She has some health problems. And although she's in not bad shape for a woman of her 81 years, all things considered, when she does have problems, someone needs to be there to deal with them, and unfortunately, as an only child, there's no one else to do that but me. It's me.
Sometimes I thought my brother was an only child.
You were just wishing.
What would that have done to me? Yeah. Well, I'm interested in your observations of people. I've heard you comment over the many, many years we've been friends and listening to music, your music. Mm. Your observations between life in Italy, life in Virginia, and life in Mendocino County.
Okay. Well, the first thing I would say is that it would be far easier on me. I'm getting to a point where I'm finding this traveling back and forth to be more difficult for me than it used to be. This has to do a little bit with advancing years. But one of the points I would make is it would be easier if I were just going between Mendocino County and Italy. They have more in common. Virginia is sort of has a very, very different culture. There's nothing very Latin about Virginia culture. There are things that are, of course, likable about it, as there are everywhere. But to go from Italy with its kind of casual, free-thinking thing to Virginia, which is, they kind of like to do things by the numbers there. So that's one thing. One thing I really noticed when I first got there was, I hadn't thought that much about it, but in this country, as perhaps because of the sort of Puritan heritage, there's a lot of obsession with the end of the world.
In the United States.
In the United States. There's a lot of people are sitting around. They're waiting for the end of the world. They're planning for the end of the world, often for religious reasons, although I think the mindset about this has transcended religion and moved into the general culture. So everyone's waiting sort of for this imminent collapse, and the world will end, and it will all be over.
Now, when you say everyone, that's people in Virginia?
Well, yes, I should say many people. Many people. A lot of the people in the culture are sitting around waiting for the world to end.
How do they expect it to terminate?
Oh, well, it's in the
Bring
Bible.
Bring in Schwarzenegger.
It's in the Bible or something. Although, really, if you look at it, it isn't really in the Bible. It just seems that way. People interpret these things as they wish. Okay, I mean, I don't want to say their interpretation is not valid. The rapture could occur tomorrow, and they'll be gone, and I'll be here. But my interpretation is a little different.
And this would be a rapture in C sharp?
Yes, correct.
As opposed to a rupture.
Yeah, yeah. They'll be sharp and I'll be flat. So, but in Italy, on the other hand, where they have seen almost everything, the Lombards came and trashed the place, the Romans came and took over the Etruscans, the Romans built up a civilization, they were the rulers. They were the ruled, they were the conquerors, they were the conquered, they were free, they had a dictatorship. They just went all around the block. And so the important question on any Italian's mind is not when will the world end, but what's for dinner? You know, they just assume that they're going to be there. They assume that, of course, we've been here a long time. Of course, we're going to continue being here. This is who we are and where we belong. So that was one of the first things I noticed. Another thing I think I noticed, I mean, I am just, this is all my own opinion, folks. Please hold your cards and letters.
That's why we're here. We're curious about Ed Reinhardt's opinion here Ukiah.
My day has come at last. Another thing about it is that the people there, they seem to be very confident in who they are. They don't sit around sort of questioning, what am I doing here? Why am I here? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? That doesn't seem to really occur to them. They have their feelings. Their feelings come quite spontaneously. That's the way God made them, and so what could possibly be wrong with that? And so they're not given too much to self-doubt in that sense, you know?
So have you absorbed that?
Well, I've tried to, but of course I have my own cultural input that I'm still dealing with from my, as we all do, you know, things happen in your childhood and you learn things along the way and so forth. But I'm certainly happy that I've been exposed to this sort of outlook. I wouldn't say that I've completely adopted the outlook, but I find it to be admirable.
And compared to Mendocino County?
Mendocino County, we've got so many kinds of people here, don't we? From all over the place. Mendocino County is the freest of those three locations by a long shot, and probably the most tolerant. So all kinds of people can have all kinds of opinions here. Even though the Italians are sort of confident in who they are, they nevertheless live with this strong heritage from the Catholic Church. I don't mean that they're extraordinarily religious. It's more a cultural thing. And so the lines are kind of drawn about what is permitted and what is not permitted and what you may do. Although I did hear it said that in Europe, if you are in France, what is not prohibited is permitted. And in Germany, in France, what is not prohibited is permitted, and in Germany, what is not permitted is prohibited, and in Russia, what is permitted is prohibited, even though it's permitted, and in Italy, what is prohibited is permitted. Did that make sense? No.
I hear something about a prohibition era here. Well, Ed, I've also heard you call yourself Earl Dixon.
Yes.
Who is he?
Well, Earl is actually my middle name. Dixon actually came from my great-grandmother's family, old Southern family there in Virginia. And so Earl Dixon is sort of represents the, when I perform quite often, when I'm doing blues, I do other types of music, but I think it's safe to say blues and boogie-woogie is my strong genre.
I remember.
And this sort of music has a kind of a seediness about it, a seedy reputation. It's associated with houses of ill repute and bars and so forth. And so Earl Dixon is that guy. He is that guy that plays those seedy bars and those houses of ill repute and sort of lives on the dark edge of nighttime society.
Can you bring him here? Bring him up with a little bit of music, maybe a song?
Well, it's late at night. We're getting near the end of the evening, folks. Some of you need to be making plans for the evening. Head on out to that no-tell motel. Let me just remind you that you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. That's what we say as we're closing down the bar.
Before you close down the bar, you play Boogie Woogie.
Oh, yes.
Give us some background of where the Boogie Woogie comes from, what it is.
Boogie Woogie, as I understand it, there was a large migration of black population from the Deep South. They just went right up the Mississippi Valley and headed ultimately they would end up in Chicago, people sort of getting out of that situation. And essentially, they were refugees. And so they found themselves in this strange urban environment coming out of a kind of a rural environment. And it was hard to make ends meet economically and so forth quite often. And so people would throw what were called rent parties. And the idea was there'd be a party at somebody's apartment. Everyone had a piano in those days. And so you would go and you would pay whatever was a meaningful amount of money back then, a dollar or whatever, I don't know. And then you were into the party and there would be a piano player. And that piano player would play Boogie Woogie for the rent party. Worth a dollar, I should say. And so that's the origin of Boogie Woogie as I understand it. It's very much like the blues, except it's more rhythmic. It has a faster tempo. Has some roots in, of course, gospel and all of that. But it also, it's an interesting transition. You can sort of go from the gospel through the ragtime, through the blues, to the boogie-woogie, and follow the boogie-woogie on into the swing era, and then start moving into early rock and roll.
How about Ed Reinhardt? Can you play a transition of those several times of music?
Starting with
the gospel.
Well, gospel, you know, it was kind of like this. And that goes right into ragtime, doesn't it? Sort of somewhere in there, the blues started to come in. I can't really do the blues justice the way it came in originally on the piano because I think a lot of it was on the guitar. But
how about some injustice?
This is the Injustice Blues.
Are there words?
Sure, I'll give you some. Wait for it to come around. Here we go. You know I woke up this morning. I had the injustice blues. I had my court date. I knew I was gonna lose. It wasn't right. I had to go home at night. Singing them injustice blues. I hate it when I have to lose. So we'll dedicate that to all the lawyers and attorneys out there if you happen to know any.
Several drop by. I usually speak with them on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday when we're not doing Radio Curious. Except at 4:30.
But of course, at 4:30, what happens at 4:30?
That's when our programs are broadcast.
Oh, well, yeah, you should stop and listen.
And if you're listening right now, it's probably shortly after 4:30. I would guess that it is a 4:45.
Okay, well, I'm glad to see somebody knows what time it is, because I've been out of the loop ever since I flew here and still struggling with a little bit of jet lag.
So, Ed, Friday.
This Friday in Ukiah at the Saturday Afternoon Club, I will be appearing with my friends in the band The Burning Sensations. And I would like to point out there has been a little confusion about the date. There was some little error appeared in the newspaper, but the event is occurring on Friday evening at the Saturday Afternoon Club.
And that is January 16th, 2009.
Thank you.
For anyone of you who may be listening to this on the archives after the original broadcast, we're awfully sorry you missed it.
Yeah, really, you're a little late, but that's okay. And I think there's also been some confusion. Somewhere there's a rumor going around that admission is free. And much as I would like to let all my friends just come and have a good party, in fact, there is a $10 cover charge. So, but it'll be good music. It'll be a good boogie. We expect to have a good dance. We've had quite a few inquiries about this, partly because of the confusion about the dates. But
who else will be playing with you?
I'll be working with my good friend Les Tarr on the bass, and with Michael the Wizard Ward, perhaps known as the guitar lead for the Mighty T-Bones, a band over on the coast, which we've done a lot of kind of cross-pollination between the Burning Sensations and the T-Bones. Great band, very creative. And then we're going to have Johnny Bush, who's from the T-Bones, a very, very talented musician who is capable of playing a lot of instruments and very flexible, very eclectic musician who I just love working with him. He's great. I love working with all three of them, really. It's wonderful. And we may have a few guest artists to stumble through the door. One never knows in these situations.
You said working. And I'd like you to talk about the work that you do.
As work.
The music that you play, the joy that you bring to people, the stories that you tell with the song and with the rhythm and the music.
Okay, well, most of that part isn't much work in my way of thinking, okay, because that's the enjoyable part. Playing the music, having this, being lucky enough, being fortunate enough to have this ability to be able to communicate through this nonverbal medium. I mean, we're singing lyrics in the songs and so forth, but music is all about emotional content. And so this ability to be able to communicate emotional content without much intellectual frame of reference is just one of the most wonderful things. I'm so very grateful that I have some modicum of the ability to do that. So the work part of it has to do more with getting the equipment there, and getting it out. that's the main thing. So the next time people are at some dance or something, and you see those musicians up there, take a look at those speakers, take a look at those amplifiers, take a look at all those instruments. They didn't just grow on that stage, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody had to carry them in and carry them out.
Does it take much time for you to practice or rehearse? And when we started this program, before we started it, we sat down with a keyboard here in the studio, and you just sat down and played.
Yes. Well, some things come more easily than others. I think it's like any line of endeavor. One of the great things about playing with these fellows I'm going to be playing with on Friday is we have worked a lot together. It's been a couple of years, but we've worked a lot together. And we are going to do a rehearsal so that we, get back up to speed a little bit. But we also have a kind of a natural rapport. There's the feeling. We're very good at picking up the feelings of the other people. And not everyone sinks into the groove together all that readily. That's always been one of the great things about some of the musicians I've worked with around here. There are so many talented people, and they can just sort of I'm not saying it's completely without effort. Of course, there's effort, but they naturally and smoothly get the feeling. And it's when you share that feeling. I mean, you can hit clunkers, you can hit bad notes, but if that feeling is able to keep moving through, people will enjoy the music anyhow. I mean, it's better, of course, if you don't hit the bad note.
That's the emotional feeling that you're talking
That's
about.
That's right. That's right.
Can you play something with emotion? Oh. Not that you don't play anything without emotion. We could have a moment of silence, but right. That could be emotional, too.
Well, there's lots of emotions, aren't there? There's anger, you know. Or there's sadness. Or there's joy. Or there's sexiness. One of my personal favorites. Is sexiness an emotion? I guess so.
Well, we're all human.
That's right. I'm certainly trying to be. I've been spending a few years working on it.
So how about a tune? Can you play us something new, old, favorite?
Something I can play you something old. What I've been doing lately in Virginia, I've been working with a few musicians, actually. I have a few projects in the fire back there. Projects back there are more difficult to get off the ground. There's not the kind of support that we get here. We're so lucky here to get the support from the people, and people understand what we're trying to do pretty much and so forth. And back there, you know, a lot of people, for them, music is just some canned stuff they heard on the radio, and it's just whatever was given to them in the top 40. So anyhow, I'm sorry for that digression. So I've been working with this one lady, you know, she's writing some songs and working with this horn player and so forth. But having said that, I think I'll play something from something. I don't know what I'm going to play here, but I'll how about a New Orleans beat? Would that be okay?
That'd be wonderful.
Habit that I really can't stand, jumping and I'm moving from man to man, but I ain't for it. I really ain't for it. You know I ain't for it. None of that jive at all. You know she may be pretty, pretty as can be, but she's got to fly right to satisfy me, because I ain't for it. I really ain't for it. You know I ain't for it. None of that jive at all. Now she can spend my money, she can have her fun, but better save me my honey and don't be giving away none, because I ain't for it. You know I really ain't for it. You know I ain't for it. None of that jive at all. Pretty sure that's a Big Bill Brunzi tune.
I remember him.
Yeah, sure. We were just like that. No, I could be wrong about that, but that's my recollection of that is. I have a lot of these old tunes, and I've sort of lost track of who did what. And like folk music, you often end up mixing and matching them. So there's a little bit of this tune and a little bit of that tune, and before you know it, you've completely come up with something, well, not new, but sort of a Frankenstein of music that you've assembled the different parts and brought it back to life.
Well, Ed, it's really nice to have you here in our studios, sitting here watching you play with
Thank
the headphones
you,
on, the microphone nearby, the electric keyboard hooked up, getting some good quality. And it's Friday night at what time?
I'm saying 8 o'clock. I mean, no one has actually... I'm only the band leader, and, of course, I just flew into town, so I'm a little bit sketchy on this myself, but I'm telling people 8 o'clock.
But when you start playing is when it begins.
That's right. So I'm expecting to start playing at 8 and, you know, be done around midnight in consideration of the demographics of our listening audience.
Do we know the opening tune?
No, I would never give such a thing away. You must come to hear what the opening tune is if you want to know what the opening tune is.
How about a tune in between the opening and closing?
You're very tricky. You're very tricky. Let's see. How about a little bluesy thing, huh? Outdoors, I could tell by my milk cow. I could tell by the way she lows. Lord, if you see my milk cow, please won't you drive her on home. Cause I ain't had no milk and butter, well, since my baby's been gone.
Ed Reinhardt and Earl Dixon, one and the same. I want to thank you for being with us in radio, at Radio Curious here in our studios. And before we close, I have two questions.
All righty.
One is, what's something important, impressive, or interesting that you've learned lately?
That I've learned lately? There's so much. We're always learning things. We're always trying to go. I would say my most recent revelation is try to avoid domestic flights in the United States if at all possible.
And can you tell us about an interesting book that you've read lately?
Yes, I did a lot of interesting reading this summer, and I read The Pillars of the Earth by Ken Follett, which is a novel set in medieval England. Ken Follett did some work around World War II, kind of some Tom Clancy kind of stuff. But this particular novel is set in medieval England, and it's set around the construction of a cathedral, which often would take centuries. This one takes about a century, and it's so masterful because he has so many details about what life probably was like for people back then, and not just the really wealthy nobles, but people sort of lower down the social scale. A wonderful book, very well written.
Well, Ed Reinhardt, thank you for being with us. And as we close out, can I ask you to play the Radio Curious theme again?
On a piccolo. On a piccolo?
On a piccolo.
Oh, yeah, I tell you. You know, you have to put a little extra money in my tip jar for this stuff, Barry, you know, so...
Clink, clink. Ed Reinhardt lives in Mendocino County, Italy, and Virginia, and is here visiting with us in the studios of Radio Curious. The book that he recommends is Pillars of the Earth by Ken Follett. There are over 750 archives on our website, radiocurious.org, and I'm honored to tell you that Radio Curious is now part of the collection at the Library of Congress. We appreciate your cards, ideas, and letters, and do enjoy hearing from you. The email is curious@radiocurious.org. The postal address is 700 West Smith Street, Ukiah, California, 95482. The phone is 707-621-5075. Ignacio Ayala is the assistant producer. I'm host and producer Barry Vogel. Thank you for listening.